Praise God. You may have your seats. Good morning, everyone. I don't know what to say. I am honored and I am humbled to be here this morning. You may need to give me a little bit more on the mic. All that has been said so far, the worship that has gone up unto God, the scripture that Pastor Jeff read, and what Brother Dave shared, and what Pastor Eugene just said, and what Pastor Dunk and Christine, everything that came from the front of this room has been setting the stage for the Word of God this morning. And it's interesting to see how God does things. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? When we come into the house of God, we ought to never ever leave unchanged. And coming to church should never ever be just a formality or just a custom or a tradition. We should always come expecting to hear from God and never leaving the same. Otherwise, what is church for? Over the last couple of days, we have been speaking a concept that we call kingdom health, and it really has nothing to do with traditional health. It's about building the church in the manner that God lays out in His Word. It's about us becoming one body by becoming whole and complete in ourselves individually, becoming whole and complete in Christ, which is the only way we could become whole and complete is in Christ. And Colossians 2:10 tells us that's the only way we become complete in Christ. And we cannot increase full, and we cannot increase whole. That's as good as it gets. And the Word of God says in Ephesians that to know the love of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's just so awesome. Just an awesome thought. That Christ who dwells in our hearts, that we can be filled with the fullness of God. Knowing the love of Christ. Being filled with the love of Christ. And it's that love relationship that brings us into that abiding in Him and He in us. That oneness with Him that will make us one body. And what Brother Dave was saying about nothing would be impossible to the church. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and even greater works. But we need to become one body, one people, one language, one heart, one mind, one hope. I'm from a little island in the Caribbean. And now I'm here in Philadelphia, but I feel at home here because there's the same spirit. And there'll always be differences among us. But that's not the issue. It's our sameness that we can look at and hold on to. And that one spirit that we share can override everything else. And we can live in love and we can live in unity. It's just so awesome who we are in Christ. And I want to focus on the key ingredient that we all need to journey into individual wholeness and completeness in Christ, and as we journey together, as is prescribed by the Word of God, that we could become one body that will influence this world. And it starts with us, it starts with our family, and then it goes into the community. And if I may just say a word about that, I don't know how it is here at Harvest, but many churches that I've spoken at and people that I associate with in the ministry and a lot of people that I know, brothers and sisters in the faith, it really is, in Trinidad anyway, it really is alarming how many married couples have a lot of problems in the church. And the church is not equipped to handle it properly. I don't know how it is in the United States. But there are a lot of domestic problems. You won't know it in church because in church everybody seems fine. And in church, even couples that may have issues at home, when they come to church, you don't see those issues. It seems everything is fine. But when you go home, it's a different ball game. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it has to start there. If our lives are going to be in order and if the church is going to be in order, our homes first have to become in order. And the responsibility is demands. It's upon us men to set our homes in order. And it, of course, that means that women need to know, both men and women need to know their place. And that's another story, but we need to have our homes in order. And I think that's an emphasis that the church needs to really place, is having our homes in order. So this morning, let us open our hearts and our ears. And Father, we come this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you for your holy presence. Thanking you, O God, that we can come together as an audience of one before your throne. And in the power of your Spirit, O God, release revelation, wisdom. Open our inner ears that we can hear your voice. Let no mind or heart be distracted, O God. Increase our inner sight to see into your word and into your truth, Lord, that our hearts may be changed, reconfigured to Christ-likeness. We thank you for the opportunity, O Lord, to hear your word and your truth, to hear you speak to us, to have you be with us. Let your will be done even now in the lives of each and every one that's here, even as you've ordained it for today. And we give you thanks, and let it all be to your glory and to your honor. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Just to briefly outline the last couple of sessions that we had, I said that we talked about the wholeness and completeness that's found only in Christ, and the scriptures that would reference that is Colossians 2:10, Ephesians 3:19, in case you want to take note and you want to just go back and recap. And that position of wholeness and wholeness of being and completeness in Christ, we saw that easily being referenced in the Word of God is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, about being whole and complete in sanctification, that we are sanctified completely, spirit, soul, and body. And that whole sanctification process that makes us whole and complete in Christ is done by the Holy Spirit, and us working with the Holy Spirit, God working in us. And that sanctification is the newness of life. Having gone through the new birth experience, we are new creations in Christ. And that newness, we are now translated into the kingdom of God. And for us to take this journey, it requires a transformation process, that whole sanctification which happens by the renewing of our minds. And unless we go through this mind renewal, that transformation doesn't take place, and we tend to have one foot dangling in the world while we're striving to walk in the ways of God, and we end up in a lukewarm position because we have a little bit of both going on. And we want to come out of this dual function of life and come to a place of just being single-minded to the things of God. And so we come into church and we can look around, we look at each other, and we see a physical body, and we are learning that this is just an outer case, but inside there is a spirit that moves this body. And there is a heart. The soul of man, which is the medium between our flesh and our spirit, there's a heart in there that is either going to be hard if we walk in the ways of the world, or it's going to be pure if we walk in the ways of God. And so we want to migrate from the world into God's kingdom and live with a pure heart, so that when we see each other, it's no longer based, it doesn't matter what your appearance look like, it doesn't even matter what your conduct is. We say like Paul, no longer would we look, judge each other after the flesh. Because we understand that everyone is in process. Everyone is working out their salvation. Everyone is going from strength to strength, glory to glory. Our job is just to support. Our job is to encourage. Our job is to uphold. Our job is to do this thing together. And the one thing, the big one, the most major things that causes division among us is when we will judge one another and have opinions. We reserve that just for God alone. But we will love one another. And so, let's see if you're up and running. Do I have to turn this on? One of the things where we're going. I want to just read a couple of these things that we went through yesterday, and then I'm going to go right into the message for today. I was just thinking, not coming up. The scripture is not coming up. The scripture is John 17, 21 to 23. And we're going to just take another journey this morning. We're going to connect all the dots, and this is the key ingredient that brings it all together. And I'm just going to read the scripture. And this is Jesus praying to the Father before he departed this earth. And he's praying regarding us in this case, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you loved me. The areas that I've underlined, I just want you to just take note of. That the world would believe. We are making so many efforts to try and reach the lost. And we are employing all kinds of strategies to try and win the lost. And that's all well and good. But there's a saying that they have in the secular world, you work hard or you work smart. If we would look and fix the internal issues that we have towards becoming one, we would work smarter. We won't have to try so hard. The world would know and they would believe if we begin to live with true unity and with love among ourselves. And to take note that the glory which Jesus said, the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one. And we know the glory of God speaks about the fullness of all that God is. And we have been given the fullness of God in Christ. And that's what we read in the scriptures. And it's the love of God, to know the love of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. But we have to be in Christ. And we understood from what we went through that being in Christ means that we have to go through that process of being sanctified. He says, be holy for I am holy. So we have to go through being made holy, which is done completely spirit, soul, and body. So we know we have to have it all in order. And that truth, which is what sanctifies us, same John 17, that has to be applied, that God has to be glorified by us applying truth to our life, spirit, soul, and body. Unless we do it throughout, we will fall short. And life will always tend to be a bit of a struggle. And we would always be saying, why, Lord, why? Struggles, or rather I should say trials of life, will be there. But trials don't mean struggle. Challenges of life don't mean struggle. In fact, trials of life could be quite encouraging. And trials and challenges of life could be very motivating. The glass is either half full or it's half empty. You see things from the side of the spirit, life is never a struggle. When you see things from the side of the world, it's always a burden. We have to migrate into the things of God. And we looked at a scripture that really connects the abiding principle, because abiding in Christ is the oneness. That is the oneness of the love that God wants to get into our hearts. Jesus said, I am the vine. And one of the things that we want to see in this is that he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. This is where we want to be, really. This is the life right here. Without me, you can do nothing. Of course, it doesn't mean that you're an invalid. It means without me, you're spiritually impotent. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will. This is the guarantee of your authority that you can walk in his name on this earth. Ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Once we abide in him, whatever we ask will be in line with his will. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And I want us to take note of that last underlying part. So will you be my disciples. That's a mark of, primary mark of disciple of Christ. You're fruitful in your life. You're abiding in Christ. We're not talking to be like Christ in terms of imitating Christ. I know Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But this, and that has its place, but this is deeper. This is abide in me and I in you. This is you are one with me, and so the life you live is my life in you. It is Paul saying, I am crucified with Christ. I don't have life anymore, but yet I am still alive. But it's not me that's living. It's Christ living in me. That's the mark of a person who is following after God. And Jesus said, we got at yesterday through and through, that if any man will follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, be willing to die for me like I died for him, so that he could have my life in him. And I have found that that is a struggle with many of us, because we perceive that denying self is a negative when it's a massive positive. It's the doorway that takes us in to the fullness of God and having a life that we can't even imagine or dream of. You see, the things of God is very opposite to the things of this world. And so when we hear self-denial, the condition of the world says, oh, you're going to go and live in a box, life is going to become boring, you'll be so restricted, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't enjoy life. And God is saying, you would have joy unspeakable, full of glory. You're going to have your dreams. Your mind cannot conceive of what I have in store for you. It's so vast. It's so massive. Don't we want that? You see, we have to see this thing against the world, because the world cannot look better than what God has. So that we would run after it, pant after it, hunger after it, desire it over the things of this world. And so the more and more we get to see the kingdom, and you know, Jesus walked everywhere, he taught the kingdom of God, and he demonstrated the kingdom. He talked about his love. He talked about his beauty. He talked about his abundance. He demonstrated it everywhere he went. And the word of God said that people were rushing into the kingdom when they heard about the kingdom. Today, people ought to be rushing into the church. But people are turning away from the church. And the darkness that's overtaking this earth, there's never a time in the history of mankind where the church needs to come together than now. And so I agree with what you said, Brother Dave, that let me tell you, we are in a season. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. We are in a season and in an era of our time in the history of this planet. The signs of the times are all around. This is not a game. If it ever was, it's not a game anymore. The clock is ticking and things are changing. And the only institution on this planet that can save anyone is the church. And so we have to rise up out of the mess that we are in. And so while outreaches are good and needed, we have to fix inside because the mess could just get bigger. And so I thank God for the opportunity to be here to share what God is saying in preparation to get the church ready, to get the church in order, to get things back in alliance with his kingdom. And I hope that we all get it. Amen. So we are looking at, I share this because I want us to be aware of the aligning, that abiding principle that's very key in it. And as I get into today's message, I want to just share a very familiar scripture. I know everyone in here would be familiar with it. And let it resonate in our hearts by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass and clanging cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and though I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt but have not love, it profits me nothing. All that we've been talking about and all that is ever talked about in churches around this world, if we don't get this, we don't get it. It won't work. It'll be falling on soil, and the cares of this life will keep knocking it out. We have to have, God is love. And we know he didn't have it, he is it. If we are born of God and God in Christ is in our heart, we have love. If we have love, we could be one. We have a struggle with becoming one. We need to step back and examine ourselves and truly, sincerely, honestly, humbly question ourselves for our own good and for the good and for the greater good. We need to do that. We together? All right. So today, this is the title of my message. If you want to give it a title, is that Kingdom Living Pivots Centrally on Love. This is what takes us on the personal journey into wholeness, because we have to abide in him and he in us. That requires intimacy. And that journey, personally, of abiding in him, and we're all on that journey in support of one another, is what will bring us together in being one. And so I want to take us on this journey together. And I'm going to look at a scripture in John 13, verse 33 to 35, which I'm sure we're all familiar with. This is Jesus, this is the night that he was betrayed. This is the Last Supper. He's sitting with his disciples. And he says to them, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I have said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Jesus said, "In this my Father is glorified, proving to you to be my disciples when you abide in me and I in you." This is the connection right here. Are you seeing that? Jesus was saying to you, here is Jesus, he's getting ready to leave. And he's saying, "A new commandment I'm giving to you." Hear his words. He said, "It's a new commandment I'm giving to you, that you love one another." Was that new? Was that a new commandment? In Leviticus 18, God had already said to the people, "Love one another." But Jesus is now saying, "A new commandment I'm giving to you, that you love one another." I'm about to leave. Where I'm going, you can't come. You followed me for the last 3 years. People knew who you were. They saw you with me. You ate with me. You went where I went. You slept with me. People identified you because you associated with me. When they took Jesus, the servant girl identified Peter and said, "You're one of them. You followed him." What did Peter say? "No, no, no, that's not me. You got the wrong guy." They knew who they were. People knew his disciples because of their association. And now Jesus is saying, "I'm leaving. I won't be around for people to associate you with me to know who you are, but this is how they will know you are my disciples. This is the only way they will know. Love one another." They're not going to know because you go to the same church. They're not going to know because you use the same book. They're not going to know because you speak the same language. They're going to know by your love for one another. Jesus was giving them a new identity, a new connection. People will know who you are by the love you have for one another. It is interesting that in the book of John, they call John the Apostle of Love. John, throughout his gospel and his epistles, talked about love. And some time ago, in my study of this, and I studied all of John's 21 letters. And do you know, in the book of John, Jesus is saying, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another." How? "The way I love you." And throughout John's gospel, he never talks about the love of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? He never says, "Love like Jesus loves." And Jesus said, "Love them the way I love you." But yet John, who is the only one of the disciples that wrote about this love, did not say, "Love like Jesus loved." And if you go through the entire Gospels, you're going to find that he's going to talk about love the way God loves. Love as God loves. And I thought on that, why did he not talk about that? Because I was looking to how to love like Jesus loves. And he just thought, and then I realized that when John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," that, of course, John is writing some decades later. God John got the revelation somewhere along the line by the Holy Spirit that he was with God. And so by saying love like God loves, he was saying Jesus is God. Because he got that revelation. And throughout that, all his writings is about love like God loves. And so looking at, going back to verse 34 and 35, there are a couple of things I want us to hear by the Spirit of God. That you love one another, have I changed? As I have loved you. That's the key. Love like I love. Don't just love one another. Love one another like I love. By this, all will know you are my disciples. How will people know that we are disciples of Christ? How will they know? Really think about it. How could people have tell any time? Because we use his name? That's not authentic enough. Because we carry a Bible in our car or have a Bible on our desk at work? How would people know? The question is, how would people know we are who we say we are? And it has to be by this love. And I put some captions under the for you to just take note of and think of. Love one another the way Christ loves us is the mark of a disciple who has learned self-denial. To love like Christ loved, we have to be like Christ in terms of we would have to deny self. And I'm trying to connect it to all that we talked about yesterday so we can see how it flows all together. So we understand and we want to look into how people will know, because Jesus said in John 17, the world will know and they will believe. Which is a hard thing for the world to get to right now. But they would know that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and they will believe it when we speak of it. They will not question it. When we love one another. When we walk in this new commandment. All people will know. That's what makes us authentic disciples. I'm sure we're together so far. Now, I want us to see how people will know. How John is telling us how people will know. And I'm going to go through a few scriptures and watch for how people will know. Look inside of these scriptures and see how people will know. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves is born of God. Everyone who is born of God loves. Is that what it's saying? Everyone who is born of God loves. Are we born of God? Yes. Do we love as he loves? We have his Spirit. This is not to use my wife word. This is not a slap. This is for us to examine so we could rise above. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. People will know. This is how Christianity around the world for years have gotten a reputation, a lot of Christians, I don't know about here, we have this stigma attached that we're just hypocrites because we talk one way and they don't see it reflected in our lives when we go about our business sufficiently. But people will know because we love the brothers. It is noticeable. People can observe it. They can see. And if the world knew these scriptures, what would they say about the church? I'm speaking generally. What would they say about us if they knew these scriptures? Take note. 1 John 3:10. Oh, this thing doesn't respond. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he that does not love his brother. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Implication: anyone who does not love his brother is not of God. Oh boy. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Whoever does not love his brother is not of God. Oh my gosh, that's like a blow right in your gut. Oh, I feel that. I mean, not in your gut, in my gut, I feel it. Oh. These things shook me up personally. This brought me to my knees. This showed me how far off track I was and still am, and because I'm working on it. That's hard, but that's truth. He, whoever does not practice, and I underline that word because we miss that in the church. We do not practice to do the things that of God. We come to church, we hear, we say, oh, you know, that was a good word. And the week passes and it leaks out and it's not practice. Practice is, I read somewhere that said, practice is the highest level of knowledge. You learn something, when you put it into practice, it becomes part of your life. People will know. By this, all will know who we are. We don't have it, we don't show it. We will never be one. We will never abide in him, nor will we become one. And God cannot lose. He cannot lose. There's no way he's going to go through all that he went through to lose in the end. The next scripture, 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. And let's be honest, because we're trying to bring ourselves in alliance, in alignment with the Spirit of God so that we could be one. We are born of God, we carry His Spirit. Therefore, this can be us. This is how we live, this is how we move, this is how we have our being. He who does not love does not know God. You know, sometimes I speak in a church, and if I'm speaking on something like has to do with physical health and wellness, I'll say, how many of you love God? And everybody sticks their hand up. How many of you would admit, or how many of you believe your body is the temple? Everybody sticks their hand up. How many of you know, consciously aware, that you are doing things that are not healthy for your body, and in due time will bring harm to your body. How many of you are completely aware that you're doing things that are not good for you? Hands go up. How many of you love God? Everybody goes up. How many of you believe your body is the temple? How many of you are doing things that are going to be destroying to your body? That equation don't even add up. So I say, do you love yourself? Yes. Do you love God? Yes. But you said that's not good for you. You know it's not good. Yes. Why do you do it? They can't answer, or they'll all give you some frivolous answer. But the truth is, we have an issue with loving ourselves. We need to examine that. I had a major issue with loving myself. Major, major issue. Didn't even recognize it. Did not recognize it. Anybody had asked me, Pastor Jeff, I'd say, do you love yourself? Sure, I love myself. We all want to love ourselves. But why would we do something that's not beneficial for our lives? Why would we engage in habits and lifestyles that would destroy us in the long run and still say we love ourselves? We need to examine that. Based on what the psychology expert says is that we really don't love ourselves. And we engage in self-destructive behaviors because of a conscience that's not clear or not clean. Because of things that we do in our lives that we know is not right. And it may not be what we call big sins, it may be just things that are just not right. And it may be simple things like speaking to your spouse in a way that's just not right. Treating somebody on the job in a way that's just not right. That God will not approve of. And you in your own conscience know it's not right. But you just let the flesh rule you, you just respond to situations and just react in ways. It's called self-punishment, according to the experts. Anyway, just food for thought. Because if we don't love ourselves, we won't love each other. Let me give you the last one that, and I'm all connecting this, how people will know it. This is something that's very observable and noticeable that people would say. 1 John 2, 9 and 10. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. You see our security in there? Do you see strength in there? Do you see support in there? No stumbling. The journey becomes easier when we become connected. Strength in unity. He who hates his brother is in the darkness still. You know, God is teaching us very clearly what proves who we are. People will know who we are. They'll know that we are not just his disciples, but we will carry his light and his glory because we will be full with the fullness of God. People will know. Can you imagine a group of people? Let's take this assembly. Could you imagine a social environment of people who walk and live like this? And you take that group of people and transplant them into the world. How the world is going to look at those people? Very peculiar people, function very differently, but gosh, I like to be around them. Because they don't come and rehearse their problems. Hey, how you doing? Well, boy, and everybody likes to talk, seem to talk about their problems. But we talk because we're full with joy, we're full with joy, peace. We have the love of God in our hearts. The sun is shining even though the clouds are gray. I mean, it's never a bad day. It's just never a bad day in the kingdom of God. And when the neighbor's in trouble, guess who they'll come looking to? You know, let's go up the street and talk. Those people, they seem to have the answers for everything. I don't know about you, but I get so thrilled about this because this is who I am and this is who you are. This is what's been given to us. We are not normal, ordinary people. God has moved us out of that And we just need to let go and step in and take this journey. And we will not be disappointed. But what it takes, or what it requires of us, this world has not taught us. In fact, this world teaches us the opposite. The world teaches us to just settle for. And don't strive and don't push. We want the easy way out. It teaches us convenience and to be comfortable and look for shortcuts. When we walk into the kingdom, that don't exist. It's responsibility. It's accountability. It's discipline. It's sacrifice. But the rewards, this world could never ever come close to. And not only the rewards will be here in this life, but it goes beyond this life. A blessed hope. You know, we don't even live like we think it's going to come to an end one day. We think that we'll be here forever, Brother Jeff. We think so. And we treat our health, our physical health, the same way. We live as though we're not going to die. And we take our walk of salvation as though Christ is not really coming back. We take it so casually. But that's the culture that's been emerging in the church, and we just got to knock that thing out. So you see how John, he said people will know. You can see by the love you have for one another. And if you don't love one another, you don't know God. And if you know God, you will love one another. This is how we journey into that abiding place. This is the commandment, 1 John 3:23. It was just one commandment, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He commanded us, love one another, and to believe on Jesus Christ. I put this scripture here for us to see that it's not just our loving one another is connected to our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ. It is connected to that abiding oneness in Christ. We cannot separate our faith. Christ lives in our heart by faith. We cannot separate that faith, that trust, that belief in Christ from love in our hearts, love for one another. We know it goes together. And if we see what Galatians 5:6 says, is that for Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails much. We don't need that. But faith working through love. If we don't, faith works by love. Could it be that many of us in the church struggle with faith because we struggle with love? And that when we start to walk in this, we will find that faith is going to flow out of us and we're going to see changes in our life. Because if we just have a little bit of it, we can transact things in the kingdom that will cause manifestation in our natural lives that like we will never believe. It moves mountains and replaces them with all that we need. How important is love? If faith, which is what everything in this kingdom is transacted by, works by love. Amen. That's awesome. Believe. Trust God. Have faith. Have faith. Why love? Why love? Why love to prove that we are disciples? Why couldn't it just be coming to church, reading the same book, praying to the same? Why couldn't not people just see that and say that here we are? Why couldn't that just prove that we are his disciples? Why can't everybody say we go to Harvest Fellowship and that be the proof that we are disciples? Because there are other people who use the same book. They may be a different denomination. There are lots of denominations that use the same Bible. But they don't necessarily all believe the same thing. Is that true? Many denominations talk about the same Holy Spirit and God, and but we don't see eye to eye on things. And this group seems to love one another, and that group seems to love one another. But yet, all of you guys can't seem to get along. You say you're Christian and you use the same book, and you say you love one another, and this group over here goes by a different name but use the same book and love one another, but you two can't seem to get along. And then there's another group over there that use the same book and talks about the same God, but none of the three of you get along, but yet you all say you love one another. Isn't that what's happening? So how it's not the loving one another. Is he saying love one another like I love you? Not just love one another, but do it the way I do it. Love like I love. Abide in me and I in you. Love like I love. They love one another, but you love one another like I love you. That sets us apart. So we saw that this, I just wanted to share the note here, that God always required that we love one another, but now it is only in Christ could man love the way God loves. He always required that we love one another. Only in Christ, who dwells in our heart by faith, could we love like he loves. And so Paul says in 1 John 2 in 7 and 8, he says, brethren, I write to you no new commandment. I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, or at the same time, a new commandment I'm writing to you. It's not a contradiction. It's just new, because it is not just love one another. Which is true in him, and it's true in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. I want to say a little bit more, get a little bit further down into that. 1 John 2, 8 to 10. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no stumbling in him. The new commandment is true in him and in you. Can you see, abide in me and I in you? Do you see that? The new commandment is true in him and it's true in you, because the darkness is passing away. The darkness overtaking this earth, that means nothing when we get this right. The darkness is passing away and the true light is not will shine, it's already shining. As Pastor Eugene saying, Christ came, he brought his kingdom into the earth, a new dawning of things, a new life. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The light is already shining, not to come. It's in you, it's in me, it's in him. We are one in him. This world has nothing on us. We can move this world. We can change this world. We can push the darkness out if the light in us will shine. It will not shine in me by myself. I got to love you. And if I can't love you and I don't know how to love you, my light cannot shine. It is not true in me. And it may be true in him, but it's not true in me. It becomes true in me when I start to love you because he is in you. We are one. And so all that we talked about yesterday, the whole journey of flesh and spirit and how they come back into alliance and the process that we go through, that's just the practical journey. But it brings us to this. It brings us to this. This is the church Jesus said, I would build. And when he said, I will build my church, on the revelation that Peter had, he said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. That is such an amazing, that is such a huge access. I will give you the keys of my kingdom, and whatever you bind or lock up on this earth, I will lock it up in heaven. And whatever you loose or unlock in this earth, I will unlock it. You have that authority. You can change this world. You can bring my kingdom into this world. Let my light shine and save the lost. But you have to love one another. That's the only way they will know and believe what you are saying. And because we lack so much in this area, the church is struggling to win the lost. And now we have resorted to resources from the world and secular strategies. And we've brought so much of the world into the church and has crippled us. And you can't tell the world from the church anymore. And some people say, that's okay, we need to look like the world so we can fit in, so they can come in. And all that does is make the mess bigger. They need to see we are different. They need to see that we stand apart. Not that we stand apart because we think we are better, because we go into, we just don't become of, and we don't follow those patterns. And when we go in, all that happens is that our light will shine in the darkness. And they'll either be drawn into the light, or that light will dispel them and they'll go their way. Because there will always be those who will want to walk in darkness. There are some people that walk on this earth that find darkness very attractive. That's okay. We do what we've been commissioned to do. I really thank God. I thank God that I am not in the darkness still. And this morning, his light has come in our hearts. And if we would engage the process that we talked about, and we would emphasize, we would discipline our lives in the natural sphere of things and glorify God in that, and glorify God in the spiritual sphere of our life through sacrifice. And we learned that while both are important, the emphasis is the inward man being renewed day by day. That means a day don't pass where you do not give yourself to the things of God. And not 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes before bed. That does not work against all the media stuff that comes at us from the world. All the conversations that we hear during the day. And all the things of the world that 5 minutes with God cannot work, and reading the Bible for 10 minutes a day cannot work. God has to become, we have the principle, you see, it's so important, Jesus, it was so important to him that he had to say to his disciples, the priority, your priority as a follower is to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, your relationship with me and your governance under my kingdom and authority. That has to become the central focus of your life. And when that happens, everything that you're running behind, everything else will come with much less effort too. This is who we are, brothers and sisters. This is our journey. This is our life. This is what we've been called to. This is what we've been called out of, into. Love one another. Love one another as he loves. As he loves. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is what qualifies it. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That is the qualifying mark. How do love the way I love? And he qualifies it. Greater love has no one than he will lay down his life for his friends. And this does not mean literally hanging on a cross and going and die for a friend. We die every day to the flesh. And we die, we can die and sacrifice ourselves every day for one another. If it was a rainy day, it snows here. You have a very snowy day, and someone lives 50 miles away in this direction, and you live 50 miles away in that direction, and they have no way of getting home, and you can't wait to get home to eat lunch, and they're saying, could you give me a ride home? And you really have nowhere to go but to go home. You have no appointment, you have no important schedule, but it's just so out of the way for me to drive 50 miles on a very snowy day. A snowy day, is that a good day to drive? Something inconvenient. That's sacrifice. So we die for each other every day. Sacrifice one another. For one another. Die for one another. There is nothing too hard for us to do for each other. That's the evidence to love like I love. Neighbor calls you at a very inconvenient time, and they need help with something, and you happen to be the only person that could help at the time. But you're doing something that you're involved with, something personal, which is not a life. You could leave it, but you're just so engrossed and you just find it so inconvenient to have to leave what you're doing just to go and help the neighbor or a brother or sister. You'll leave it. That's your love. That's love like I love. I sacrifice. It's inconvenient. It takes away from me. I have to give up for. But that is love like I love. Consider each other more than yourself. Carry one another's burdens and so prove the law of Christ. Love one another. Be your brother's keeper. Be locked together. Love like I love, that the world will know and they would believe that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And when we say in him we live, in him we move, and we have our being, they see it is true. it's not just words. They see it's true. And people would say, we want that. We want to be in that light. The world is getting too dark. People are becoming fearful. People are becoming angry, anxious. This world is falling apart, and we are the only chance the world has. There are times I feel the burden for the church so heavily. And this morning, my time with the Lord, I felt the burden so heavy, and I broke. And I said, God, when I go to represent you this morning, I don't want to feel the burden. I don't want to break. This is not me. This is the heart of God. God cries out for his people. We have to come back in line. This world has nothing to compare. But I'll tell you, the heart of God is heavy for the church. And I know that we are in a time where God is shifting things in his church all across this world. He's raising up people to bring things back in, because he's not coming back for the church in its state the way it is. And not everybody is going to jump into this. But there are those who are hungering for it, and they will. This morning, my brother in the back, I don't remember his name, and he prayed when we were praying this morning. And he prayed an anointing, and he said some things that others have also said to me. And I was humbled by that. Because the message has to go out to the body of Christ, and we have to arise. We just have to. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Eugene, before coming here, in one of my devotional times, the Lord laid it on my heart. And it challenged me, it still challenges me. He said, I don't need you to pray about you and the ministry I've given to you and, let's say, come in here, go into harvest and praying about my move there and what I want for the heart, what I want for the people. And not that he did not, that I'm not to do that. But what God was saying is that I don't need you to pray. I need you to pray. I need you to come up now, and I need you to hear my heart for the body. I need your prayer to be for my body, not for a calling, an assembly, a journey. I want your call to be for my entire body. I want you to hear my heartbeat for my body. I need you, because I need you to go to my body. That, I felt the weight of that. I don't even know what to do with that. But he has given me a burden for the church. Love like our Lord loves. I'm just like you. I'm striving for that. But I know we have to do that. How do we do it? John 15, 9 and 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's the abiding principle. Live in absolute obedience to me, What is it talking about? Truth. Glorifying God in your body and in your spirit. In your natural life, live in a way that glorifies God. In your spiritual life, apply the principles that glorifies God. Complete obedience to his truth in every dimension of life. That is how we are sanctified completely. Abide in me. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, if you live by truth, if you glorify me in your body and your spirit, if you keep your gaze upon me, that's our transformation right there. And in the end, when we can walk this way and we can do these things, it will prove that we are disciples of Christ. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Fervent love. So somebody said something to you in church that you don't like and you feel offended? Love. Somebody passed you by and they didn't say good morning? Love. It is the air that we breathe in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, the air that we breathe that keeps us alive is love. It's like the oxygen of the kingdom. And when we can walk this way, this is what will happen. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. This is our royal insignia of who we are. We love people like Christ loves them and gave himself for them. What a journey we have ahead of us. And so I leave you with this final scripture to ponder on. And it goes right back to the scripture that Pastor Jeff read. Now, the purpose of the commandment, the whole purpose of it is love from a pure heart. A pure heart is when we've been sanctified completely. From a good conscience and from sincere faith. That's our journey. Let's bow our hearts together in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we do bless your holy name. We honor you this morning and we give thanks and we give praise for your presence, for the work of your Holy Spirit in shifting things in our minds and our hearts, O God. As a body of one people, O God, we are privileged. We are special. We are thankful that we no longer walk in darkness. We are thankful for the gift that you've given us of the light of love and your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the truth that will sanctify us and make us holy. Quicken us even now on our inner man. Quicken us in our minds and our hearts. Let your word begin to germinate and take root. Cause our sight to widen and our view ahead to be straight, O God. Stir us up, Holy Spirit. Stir us up on the inside. Create a hunger, a thirst for righteousness that we would seek first your kingdom, O God. Lead us and guide us. Take us up higher, O Lord. Break us if you must. Shake us if you must. but take us higher, take us forward, and make us into be who you have ordained that we would be from the foundations of this world. Thank you for honoring us this morning. Thank you for your love, your grace, which is sufficient to take us through. Thank you for your forgiveness, your mercy. Thank you, O Lord, for releasing from your heavenly throne resources that we need in our lives to become more like our Lord Jesus. We receive it by faith. And we thank you, O God, for leading and guiding us through. Unto you alone do we give thanks and we give praise. And we look forward with anticipation and expectation, O God, for the fruit that will be forged in our life, the fruit that will be born, the fruit of your Spirit that people will see, people will know who we are and glorify you in heaven. We live to please you. We live to serve you. We live to bring glory and honor to you. And we thank you for the multitude and the abundance of a blessed life according to your promises. Be glorified in this house, O God. Let it all be done according to your will, to your honor and to your glory. Blessed be your holy name, holy God. Blessed be your holy name, Lord Jesus. Almighty God and Father, even now, in the name of Christ Jesus, and in your presence, Lord, of your Spirit, I pray for every person in this sanctuary who has looked to you and who has sought you, who has cried out to you for healing in their bodies, healing in their minds, healing in their spirits. This morning, Father, I come to you with the anointing and the grace and the call that you have placed upon my life, and I stand in the gap for each one of them, Father. Release from your heavenly throne, even right now. Release it into this sanctuary. Let your grace and your power rest upon each and every one that's called out to you. Deliver unto them the healing, the power, the strength, and what is needful. Release it unto them that by faith they would receive it, and that they'll be made well. All to your glory and your honor. All to your glory and honor. Thank you for the release of your power. Thank you for the release of your grace. Thank you, O God. Let faith arise and receive that invisible substance that came out of heaven into this room to touch your body, to touch your mind, and to touch your heart. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we honor you today. You are a wonderful and glorious God, and we give you thanks. You alone, only you are worthy of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Father.